Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Good morning, Taylor family. Good morning, Taylor friends. Good morning, Taylor Nation. We want to welcome you live to our streaming, where we are streaming from the Taylor Tabernacle Church, where the Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. You know, there's an old saying, you know, that says what's new is old and what's old is new. And how many know that the New Testament church first started in the homes of the believers? And here we are in 20 and 22, again, having church at home. Although virtually, everyone is invited into everyone else's house as we lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I'd like to open today with a prayer, and then we will be having our scripture, and you guys can feel free to start finding it in your Bibles. We will be coming from Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 25. But let us open with a prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is to be praised. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the blessing of seeing the wonderful works of your creation just for another day. For we stand in awe for what we are compared to your majesty. For Lord, we are a lost people that need to be found. We are dead men walking that need to be made alive. We are sinners in need of a Savior. So we come to you broken and beaten. We come to you tired and stressed. We come to you the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, to put our trust in you alone. So no matter what we are going through, no matter what our circumstances, we know that the storms of life may come, but you are greater than any situation that we find ourselves in. So we lift up to you all of our problems. We lift up to you all who we love. We lift up to you all we care for and ask that you bless them and meet their needs. Lord, we commit this day to you. We ask that you go before us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us in the ways that we should go. In the name of the only begotten, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. And again, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. And if you are there, you will find these words. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink in the new kingdom of God." Amen. And at this time, we will have a sermonic selection by Deacon Joseph Schell. And at his conclusion, we will turn the services over to our pastor, Jonathan E. Ford. Thank you.
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary. Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears. And it dries all my tears, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It will never lose its power.
Amen. Well, Taylor Nation, good morning and God bless you. Thank you for again joining us here on Taylor Tabernacle Live. What a joy and a privilege it is for us to meet virtually again. So thank God for you. And let me start by saying a special thank you to our Deacon Joseph Shell, coming to us from the Open Door Baptist Church. Thank God for his willingness to participate in our worship experience this morning, and thank God for his wonderful voice that he uses to worship our King. Thank you again, Deacon Michelle, and God bless you and your church in worship this morning as well. Again, thank you all for joining here virtually. Again, this month, we are meeting virtually just in our own response to the increase in COVID-19 cases in our city, and in an attempt to keep all of us safe and healthy, we will continue to meet virtually for the remainder of the month. So thank you again for joining us. Also this month, we're going to be focusing on communion throughout the whole month. The Lord has given me a series of messages or an opportunity to teach on this vital experience within the Christian church, one that I feel we don't, while we do it often, we don't necessarily teach on it often. So I just thank God for this opportunity for us as a Christian community to just focus in on the communion service. And like I said on last Sunday, my goal for this year is just getting communion right. And in order to do that, we're going to be looking at some selected passages out of the Word of God in reference to the communion service and to the Lord's Supper so that we can approach it with a better understanding and a greater sensitivity in our heart. Amen? So with that, I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to the 11th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 22. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 22. And this is a passage of scripture that occurs just before the normal scriptures that we read and hear during the communion service. So this comes right before those selected scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11:17. And we're also going to add to the witness out of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 18th chapter and verses 1 through 4. So I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I'm going to ask that you follow along in what translation you might have. So Paul starts by saying, "Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and the other is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." Okay? Now we're going to just look at the witness out of Matthew, the 18th chapter. We're going to look at the first couple verses there. Familiar passage. At the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, asking this question: "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of all of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." I'm going to keep going with it. Verse 5, "And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." How about that? All of this from the question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Before we turn our attention to the text, just a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this another Lord's Sunday morning. We thank you for this another opportunity to prepare for communion. I pray now that you would open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, that we might hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and that we might be convicted in our hearts, judged in our minds, and that through your chastening, we might be prepared to properly receive the Lord's Supper. Help us to always honor the bread. Help us always to cherish the wine as they represent both your body and blood. And cause us to always remember the great sacrifice that you gave for us, that we might be included in the family of God. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sidney Poitier, an actor whose elegant bearing and principal on-screen characters made him Hollywood's first black movie star and the first black man to win Best Actor Oscar, passed away on last week at the age of 94. Poitier overcame an impoverished background in the Bahamas and also a thick island accent to rise to the top of his profession at a time when prominent roles for black actors were scarce. He won the Oscar for the 1963 Lilies of the Field movie, in which he played an itinerant laborer who helped a group of white nuns build the chapel. Many of his best-known films explored racial tensions, even as Americans were grappling with social changes wrought by the civil rights movement. In 1967 alone, he appeared as a Philadelphia detective fighting bigotry in small town Mississippi in the hit In the Heat of the Night, and also in that same year as a doctor who wins over his white fiancé's skeptical parents in the movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And so in remembering and reflecting on the life and legacy of Sidney Poitier, to all those who are joining us today, and especially to the men that are on this broadcast, this streaming broadcast, I just wanted to take a moment to recommend the autobiography of Sidney Poitier entitled The Measure of a Man. I happen to have my copy here. It's called The Measure of a Man. If you have never read this book, I would commend it to you, as it is a worthy read. The Autobiography of Sidney Poitier, The Measure of a Man. Now, in reflecting on another beginning to a new year and the most recent holidays, I'm reminded how this season is highlighted by special family dinners. Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, and for some, maybe even a special New Year's dinner or New Year's Eve dinner, which may feature such things as collard greens, black-eyed peas, potato salad, chitlins, and some good old-fashioned fried chicken. These special family meals also come with special family rules, such as waiting for all invited guests to arrive before eating. Seniors and adults are served before before teens and children. The hosts always ensure that there is enough food such that everyone gets something to eat, and there are often leftovers for many to take home. Special family dinners come with a special prayer before eating, thanking God for his goodness. And the most recent rule added to the family dinner, get this, no phones at the dinner table. Okay? Let all the parents say amen. And I'm sure that you and your family may have some other rules for your family dinners and special gatherings. But the point is that these rules help ensure that these family dinners remain special and important in our lives. In a similar fashion, there are certain rules and conduct that are expected as part of the Lord's Supper. The special family meal for the Christian church. And in today's text, we find the Apostle Paul rebuking and chastising the Corinthian church for their inappropriate behavior and the manner in which they partook of the Lord's Supper. Okay? So now we're just going to take our time and walk through this passage. Verse 17, he says, now, and given these instructions, and what he's referring to are the instructions that are about to be given again regarding the Lord's Supper. Paul says, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Paul opens by saying he has no praise for the way the Corinthian church was conducting the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, like the Passover meal on which it is based, should serve as an experience that strengthens the unity of God's people, not one that would divide it. However, the way the Corinthian church celebrated communion, it weakened the church and made it worse instead of unifying the church and making it better. And as such, Paul says, I'm not praising you for this. Let's be clear. What I'm about to say is going to be harsh and a rebuke on your conduct. Then he goes in, now we're in verse 18. He said, first of all, said, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And he says, I believe it. As I mentioned on last Sunday, the goal of communion is unity. The number one enemy of unity, whether in a church, in a family, or even in a marriage, is division. To come together as a church for the Lord's Supper is to represent the coming together of one body of people who together participate in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The sad irony was that the Corinthian church was not coming together when they in fact came together. But when they had communion or participated in the Lord's Supper, they gave clear indications of being a divided and disorderly church, which reflected poorly on themselves and also our Savior, Jesus Christ. This division that existed and was being permeating throughout the Corinthian church is what caused dissatisfaction with Paul, because that was not the way he taught it nor instructed them to carry it out. So in verse 19, he says, there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. When there is unity in a church, everyone is seen as equal. But when there is division, some people are seen as better than others and therefore worthy of better treatment or recognition. Now, might I just reflect back on what we read out of the witness, where Christ addresses this issue of the haves or the have-nots, this one better than that one, this group better than that group. In the context of the church, it should not be that way. And again, Jesus says in the gospel, he says, except ye be converted, change of heart, change of mind, except your life be given over to Christ and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? When we become believers, there must be a shift in our attitude and a shift and change in our thinking. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So our job is to become as little children and like Christ, who oversees the Lord's Supper, the communion service, we should all be about humbling ourselves to one another, not seeking to establish ourselves as being better than someone else. And so it is this inappropriate behavior or misconduct that has now permeated through the Corinthian church, and that Paul now must address through this letter. Now, looking at verse 20, he says, therefore, when you come together in one place, he said, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, although that's what you say you're doing. He says, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, one is hungry and another is drunk. The worldly and carnal church at Corinth had turned the Lord's Supper into a gluttonous, drunken revelry. Beyond that, wealthy believers brought ample food and drink for themselves, but refused to share with others, letting their poor brethren go away hungry from the Lord's table. The communion celebration had become so perverted that it was a sinful and selfish mockery. The Corinthian church could not legitimately say it was devoted to the Lord, since it did not honor him in any way. When they came together for the Lord's Supper, some ate their food. Some ate their food before others even arrived. Some who attended the communion service got no food at all, while there were others in attendance who drank the wine to excess and became drunk during the communion service. So imagine a service, a celebration, a ceremony that is to be sacred, that is to be serious and to be conducted with a sense of reverence and respect for God, now turning in to a New Year's Eve party where everybody is just going for broke and doing all of it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what was happening at the church at Corinth. And as a result, now Paul finds himself as the apostle and the founding pastor of this church, now writing this letter of rebuke, not to condemn them, but to correct what was going wrong, so that they would no longer come together at the communion service and bring, as he says famously later in this chapter, judgment and damnation on themselves, right? And so this is what was going on. And this, what I want to point out here, and what struck me in my study of this, oftentimes things that we do out of tradition, you know, because we've always done them, things that we do the same way over a long period of time, over time, we tend to devalue them. We tend to get tired of them. We tend to get bored with them. As humans, we're always looking for something new. We're always looking for something exciting, something that hasn't been done before. But with the communion service, that's not what Christ is going for. What Christ is going for in the communion service is to remind his disciples of his sacrifice for them, his body and his blood, which he willingly offers up for their salvation and redemption. And not only their salvation, but our salvation as well. And so whenever we gather around the Lord's table and we remember his selfless sacrifice, we ought to be reminded of the selfless sacrifice we too ought to be making for him towards one another. This is how we build the unity in the church. This is how we strengthen the body of Christ. This is how we reaffirm our oneness in Christ and in God the Father, by the fact that we love and serve one another. Now, verse 22, in conclusion here, Paul responds to this report of their inappropriate behavior by saying, "What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those that have nothing? What shall I say to you? How shall I respond to this?" He said, "Shall I praise you in this?" He concludes the same way he started. "I do not praise you for this." To all of this that Paul has heard and what has been reported to him, Paul responds by saying, "What? Are you kidding me?" By humiliating those who have nothing, the Corinthian church was in fact despising the church of God itself. The humiliation was carried out by distinguishing between the haves and the have not in the provision of the food and drink, both before, during, and after the Lord's Supper. That they were gathered as the church of God should have reminded them and us that we are a covenant community in which each member finds a place through God's gracious redemption and not through our own social status or personal achievements. We all were baptized into the body of Christ the same way, by his body and his blood. The sacrifice, our lamb, he laid down his body and he shed his blood, and that is the only way that anybody comes in to the body of Christ. We all come in the same way. There's no special entrance for certain people or any class of people. We all come through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that similarity in our coming into the body of Christ is the same thing that should keep us unified and working as one body in Christ Jesus. And the way you keep the church unified is by every member humbling themselves to one another. Okay? This is what Paul is going after. So in conclusion, Christians who understand the true nature of the Lord's Supper should be willing to manifest a commitment to laying down their lives for others, and especially for the sake of weaker and more fragile members of our church. This is how we strengthen the body of Christ, by serving every member, and especially those that are weaker in the faith. And tell we what? Till we come to the unity and the oneness which Christ prayed for at the original Lord's Supper. He prayed, he said, "Father, make them one, even as you and I are one." So there's always, as highlighted here in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, there's always the potential of partaking of the Lord's Supper and participating in the communion service. Again, what Paul says famously later here in this chapter, in an unworthy manner. Okay? we're going to explore that more. But here, he's saying right off the bat, I know you guys are out of order as it relates to the Lord's Supper because there is division in the church. And so through this passage, what we taught on last Sunday, let us recommit ourselves to unifying the church and causing it to become better, stronger, more united by the way in which we love and serve one another. And let's not use the occasion of the communion service as an item or as a time to bring in division, to cause dissension, or to belittle others in the faith. He reminds us, except we become as little children, except we take on that and become converted and have our minds changed and see the communion service in its proper light. That's why I say we got to get communion right this year. If the Church of Jesus Christ could get communion right, the ripple effect that it would have in and on the body of Christ would be incredible. And to do that, we must all do our part in the role and the way in which we participate in the Lord's Supper. Not to belittle or put down anyone, but to serve each other and lift up and remember the sacrifice that Christ Jesus himself made for us. In conclusion, I just want to remind you that if you have questions regarding the communion service, the Lord's Supper, please send them in. If you're online now, feel free to jot them down in the chat. If you're on our website, feel free to go to our Contact Us page. Shoot me an email, say, you know, Pastor, I have a question about this, about that, regarding communion. It is my attempt to try to address those questions as we continue this month going through our teaching on communion. Hey, special shout out and thank you to all of those who have already sent in questions. Again, I hope as I'm walking through this, you're hearing some of those answers. But again, I just wanted to give you that reminder because the communion is one of those events in the church where there is often confusion and misunderstanding. That's why I'm so grateful the Holy Spirit is leading us here just to spend some time and walk through and get a proper understanding of communion so that when we do come and finally have communion, we are doing it with the proper mindset. We're doing it with a spiritual understanding and a seriousness for the significance that the communion service plays in the life of the Christian church. And so with that, let me just close with a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the privilege you have given us to come together as a Christian family, to study the Word of God, and to give special attention to the Lord's Supper. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open our eyes, open our ears, and open our heart. Give us an understanding of what Christ was conveying to the church as he lifted up this Lord's Supper and the communion service right out of the Passover meal, and causes us to understand and forever remember your sacrifice for our salvation. So Holy Spirit, take your word, cause it to be planted in good ground down in our hearts that we might remember each and every time that we come to the Lord's table. Help us to be converted and become even as little children, and help us to love and serve one another even as we love and serve you, Lord Jesus, and our Heavenly Father. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Taylor Nation. I will be back later in the program for our benediction.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instruction. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
And we will just go right into our January announcements. There are not many announcements, so we do know that we're going to continue virtually through the month of January. So please govern yourselves accordingly. We will be having Wednesday night prayer and Bible study from 7 to 8:30 p.m. via our Google Meet. And then this on Friday, January 14th at noon via Zoom, there will be the role of sports in combating racism and anti-Semitism in women's sport. And that will be hosted and sponsored by the Alliance of Trust. And you should have the Zoom meeting on screen. So please take that down. And that will be this coming Friday, January 14th. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of the Taylor Tabernacle family.
Well, Taylor, we thank you for another Sunday. And like I said before, thanks for your attendance as well as your attention to the Word of God. Thank you for your commitment as a Christian family in our meeting. Although it's virtual, thank you for being online. Thank you for being tuned in and connected to the family of God. And I really want to thank all of those who participated in the program this Sunday. Again, special shout out to Deacon Shell and the Open Door Baptist Church for their support. Thank God for the Abrams family and their support participating on the program. And like I said, above all, thank you for being here and connected and tuned in. Hey, I do want to highlight the Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. We are now back to having both Bible study and an opportunity for corporate prayer. Again, what a wonderful kickoff we had last Wednesday. Thank God for the Curitans who are again hosting our prayer portion of our prayer and Bible study. A wonderful opportunity for us to come together in corporate prayer and to pray for one another and to lift one another up. Another opportunity for you to submit your prayer request. During that time, you can submit your prayer request and actually be a part of the body of Christ praying, not only for your request, but other requests that are coming in to the church. So thank God again, Taylor, for your faithfulness. And with that, we'll have the benediction and we will be dismissed from our Sunday worship. Shall we all bow our heads in prayer? May the peace of God, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with every good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, God bless you, Taylor Nation. Be safe, and we'll see you Wednesday night and back here on next Sunday. God bless you.